Hello, guys. Welcome back to a very special preview podcast. We've got a new segment this week, This Week in the Barbershop. That is a Marnie Cohen special. Jasper from the Flight Plan is here to preview the Essendon game and live team reaction. Very exciting. I guess we should just get straight into it. So here it is. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the preview podcast. New intro. I'm trialing a couple of things. I think there's cooler ways for us to intro this podcast, maybe a bit more hype. That song is Slug by a band called Drenched from Tasmania. A mates band. They're coming up to Melbourne soon. They're doing good things. If you like that sort of music, check them out. Anyway, here we go. A big episode, as promised in the little preview there. We have a new segment. This is a Marnie Cohen special, guys. This week at the barbershop. Basically, what it's going to be is I took a lot of footy at this barbershop, right? I tell you guys that all the time. There's always a topic of conversation with North Melbourne in the barbershop. So I'm going to tell you what the topic of conversation was for North Melbourne this week. We got a lot to talk about. Live team reaction is coming up very, very soon. But first, we're going to cross over to our interview with Jasper. Jasper does a podcast called The Flight Plan, massive Essendon fan, very, very knowledgeable on AFL football, gave us some really good insights on Will Dawson and Taylor Goad and, you know, a lot of our draft picks. He does fantasy drafts with ESPN or something along those lines, I think he said in the interview. So anyway, let's jump straight into that and then back with all of the new goodies. Alrighty, so this week, another very special guest who's very thankful to get some of your time, sir. Jasper from The Fly Plan. Very exciting stuff. How are you, mate?
Oh, thanks for having me, Josh. It's nice to be on.
How much North have you been watching this year, mate? I'm assuming a lot.
I watch every game each week.
Interesting. Wow, it's a commitment.
Well, I work in the media and it's good to stay on top of it. So I've watched every North game. Some of them on replay, fast forwarding on KO, but it's been a few tough slogs lately. I don't envy your position.
Mm. Do you want to give everyone a little bit of insight on what you do and the podcast you're on as well?
The Flight Plan with Todd Davey. I just host that, and we have a bit of fun with the kind of Essendon community. It's been going for, I don't know, only about 18 months, but it feels like forever because each week it's about an hour of chatting, which is really good. Mm. And I find it to be great just to digest what's happened over the weekend. And right now we're absolutely flying. So it's made it a lot easier to record each week and I've really looked forward to it.
I can't wait for those days, mate. Jeez, hopefully not too far away
When did you start this one?
About 18 months ago, we got on board when Clarkson was on board. So I started this because of Clarkson hype. So thanks, Clarko, for making me do this every week.
All right, so you've recorded two wins, is that right?
Three, mate, actually.
Three.
Thank you very much. So nearly done.
Forgot about Gold Coast.
Yeah, that's it. The odd spoon bowl there, losing Harley Reid. That was great. Nah, McKerch is way better.
We're recording it in bad timing for Colby. I follow the AFL draft for ESPN, so I watch all these kids' games, and I loved him coming into his first year, and he's going to be out for a few weeks, mate, which is terrible news.
Yeah, so I just saw a little clip of this before we were talking about it before we started recording. What has he actually done? Because I heard he got sent for a scan and missed a light training session, but they didn't make it sound too doom and gloom. What updates have you got for us?
Riley Beveridge from AFL Media, verbatim saying he's dealing with some bone stress in his right foot and he's going to miss some time, which I guess if it's a stress fracture, it could be, you know, a couple months, but hopefully it's just soreness and he'll be back within the month.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, look, we're probably not winning any games anyway, mate, so we may as well get him right year.
He's been a bright spot to watch.
He's been unbelievable.
I love the way he play. He's in the right spot for him. I think off halfback really works for him.
Mm. It's good to be able to push Sheasel up the ground a little bit too. And him and Fisher delivering off the back line, especially last week, I think was the best they've looked. And being able to push Bailey Scott back to the wing and Sheasel into the midfield is hopefully going to be something he grows into as well. So, look, I hope so, mate. But what do you reckon about Dersma then, if you've watched a few of the games? What are your thoughts on him so far?
No, I love him. I think in a good team, he will thrive. I know he kicked four goals in the VFL on the weekend, and I think he should earn the automatic recall, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And for me, I know he's playing a very tough position to play in a bad side, but His work rate just needs to be a little bit better, and I think his fitness base just needs to improve a little bit. We saw that in his testing towards the end of last year at the Combine. He's probably not the fittest bloke running around, and he's maybe skirted a little bit just off the pure talent that he has, because pound for pound, he's one of the most talented players in the league. But he's going to be a star for you blokes going forward. It's just hopefully you get a good side around him, because then he'll really flourish.
Playing to his strengths as well. I mean, a lot of the times I've watched him, if he's not in the game, has to push down to half back to sort of receive some kick-ins and that sort of stuff. And that's obviously not where we want him to be receiving the ball. the couple of games, I think the couple of games he kicked a couple of goals in, you know, he was sort of playing a lot more deeper forward, and you can see how damaging he is when he's closer to goal and he's not having to push up to the wing and that sort of stuff. But we just barely get the ball in the forward 50, especially effectively at that. So, you know, only a matter of time, hopefully, for him.
Yeah, well, he started the year last year as a midfielder, and he just played kind of purely forward before that. And he didn't really set the world alight. There were definitely better midfielders going through the Coast Talent League. But when he went forward, it was transformative. The way he can, you know, kind of run and leap at the football, I think he loves having the play in front of him like that. And when you know, the delivery is good, he is exceptional. So I'll wait for that. And soon I'm sure we'll see some Harry Sheezel kind of link up play running through the middle.
Oh, geez, that sounds all right. Any inside info on Riley Hardiman? What do we got to expect there? Do you know much about him?
Yeah, very bouncy kind of half back. He's super energetic with the ball in hand. Nice left foot. I think he would take a little bit of time, but over the couple of games that he's played, I think he's acquitted himself quite well. And
he's shown enough. Yeah,
he's shown enough, but it's going to take a little bit of time with him. I think. I thought he kind of looked like a Mason Redmond coming out of his draft. Well, I know he's a left footer, okay. But I think there's a lot to work with. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
And you reckon like Goad and Will Dawson are long term prospects there?
Well, I think Will Dawson, given your key defensive issues, I think he should be making his debut this year.
You reckon? Because Logue's going to come back as well, and Charlie Combin's obviously cemented his sort of spot down there, I would hope. I think we've got a bit of a logjam of defenders who aren't quite good enough, bar Chom, to be honest with you, because I'm not sure the defensive combination that we're going to have when, you know, Combin to me is a lock. Aiden Corr, I'm not the biggest Aiden Corr fan in the world, but I think he's going to play nearly every game. Griffin Logue's probably the best out of all of those guys at his best. And then you got Dawson, Pink, or both Callum Dawson and Will Dawson. So we got a little bit of a logjam of players that none of them completely stand out.
I think getting that first taste of the senior level would be really good for him, because he's got a fairly well-developed body, uses the ball quite well. He just needs to work on his consistency, that one-on-one defending. But I think it's a good prospect to be developing in the VFL. How's your VFL been going this year? I haven't had a look at the win-loss record so far. But if they're playing in a decent side, that'll fast-track them. And Taylor Goad's going to take a little bit of time. I think you should be playing kind of more of a centre half forward or a centre half back right now, instead of in the ruck where he gets beaten up each week. But he's a longer term prospect, and I think he'll be very, very good. I rated him as the best ruckman out of last year's pool, apart from Ethan Reed.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Well, that's good insight, mate. Let's talk about the Bombers though. We're here to talk about the Bombers. So how are you feeling about Essendon and their season so far? You'd be on the hype train, I reckon.
I'm over the moon, mate. Saturday was one of the great days, actually, because the Flight Plan had a live podcast at a bar near Marvel Stadium before we marched over to the lid and got the win over the Giants. And we're into the top four, so I can't complain whatsoever. I think we're playing really consistent, good footy, and we're bringing the pressure and the intent each week, which is all Essendon fans really wanted. I'm a very young Dons fan, so over the last 10 years of my cognizant supporting, I think there's been maybe a month-long periods of us bringing intensity and pressure and really exciting footy to the table, and then it really wanes and falls off. But so far, I think apart from the second half against Port Adelaide at Gather Round, you can't question the boys' effort, and that's been the biggest positive for me so far, because the consistent effort has meant that we're in the top four right now off a fairly soft draw.
Give us a bit of a rundown on the on Goldie and Ben McKay. How do you reckon they've been going?
They've been... I can't believe how good Goldie is, mate. He's exceptional.
Oh, trust me, mate, I know. Ruckman. He's so good, isn't he?
he's been just about the best ruckman over the last decade, I know. But His ability to butter up at ground level for a big man who's 34, 35 years old is ridiculous. And he uses the ball well. He knows his limitations, but he uses the ball quite well. And then his hit outs, when he gets them right, the hit outs to advantage are really, really beneficial. And that's why we've got one of the best midfielders in the comp right now. We don't necessarily have the star power next to Zach Merritt, but we've got some like really good chemistry between a new ruck and the midfield brigade. And with Draper going down and out for the next 6 weeks, he's going to prove really pivotal for us.
Yeah, wow. What about big Benny Mackay, Matt? This is someone that I defended Ben Mackay a lot. I'm a barber and, you know, I talk a lot of footy at the barber shop and everyone was coming in telling me he's rubbish. He's so bad. Why would you offer him that much money? And my reply was always like, oh, well, how many games have you watched him play? And I think the most someone could tell me was two. You know, I watched this whole guy's career and he's a very, very good defender, was holding up our back line to whatever stage he could last year. And I knew he'd be a great player. The contract obviously was a debatable one, but you know, it's a descending contract over time. And with the salary cap going up, you know, and it's already looking like a good deal, if not in a couple of years, a very good deal. How have you seen him going at the club?
I think it's been a masterstroke to bring him in on a front-ended contract, because I think he's the most well-paid player in the AFL right now. But by the end of the contract, he'll be in about that 800,000 range, which with the way the salary cap's increasing will be a little bit above average, really, the average players play. Yeah. So while we can spend the money, I think it was a really good idea to do so. And the way he's been playing on field has been superb. I've said this on our pod, but if we had Brandon Zerk-Thatcher at fullback, which we did over the last few years instead of Ben Mackay, I think our record would be very, very different. We would have lost probably that St Kilda game, the Western Bulldogs game potentially. So there's a lot to like about having that just hulking figure down back that can take the big boys and the Tom Hawkins of the world, who can really, you know, manhandle a player who's underdeveloped in this league. And having a guy like Ben Mackay, who is so good in the air, he just did an incredible job on Jesse Hogan on the weekend. And I think having him has been completely invaluable to the side, and he's been a big part of what we've been able to do so far.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's great. What do you reckon about Brad Scott? What's your thoughts on Brad Scott over the last few years? Because obviously got us to a couple of prelims, a famous one against you guys as well. And, you know, did a lot with a list that maybe, you know, shouldn't have been there on paper, but he really got a lot out of the players. It ended pretty poorly with Brad Scott. I think I do hold a little bit of resentment towards him for not blooding a lot of youth at the end of his tenure. And, you know, there's been so many reasons why we're in the spot we are right now. But, you know, I think he really negated playing a lot of youth towards the end of his time there. And, you know, once your Petries and Harveys and Ferritos and things like that went, there was a lot of guys there who maybe hadn't been blooded enough. And that's one thing I never loved about the end of his time there. How have you found Brad Scott so far? I'd say obviously with this season, very excited, but what about is it third year in for Brad or second?
Second year in. Second Firstly, year, yeah. you'd have to win a final to make a prelim and beat us. So that was an elimination final against us, because the Dons don't win finals.
Yeah,
but he has been huge for us, and I probably didn't realise how much resentment North fans potentially had towards him given the end of his tenure, because you look at the rap sheet and you're like, two prelims with a list that many said probably didn't deserve to be a top four list in the league. To get that side to that level, competing, you know, on the second last Saturday in September, is a huge credit to the coaching staff, in my opinion. But given the situation North Melbourne sees themselves in now, and maybe the list decisions they made at the end of Brad Scott's tenure, where I think, what were some of the trades you guys made? Was that Jared Pollock?
Yeah, I mean, we signed Pollock, but I still don't think Pollock as a signing was a bad idea. I think it turned out to be bad because of the injury record. He had never on the park, but he wasn't that far removed from his All-Australian season when we got him. And so, look, that's a hindsight one. I think it's an easy one. It's more for me like a player like an Aaron Mullett or many other countless players that he maybe drafted, but because we were making those prelims and wanted to go again and again and again up until 16 or 17, then he really didn't blood any of these players that we drafted the first 3 or 4 years of their young footy careers. And by the time, you know, we got rid of even Lindsay and Andrew Swallow and Petrie and Harvey and all those guys, there was a lot of young players we drafted who barely got any time to develop on the football field. And I think all of them left within the space of a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, all these guys who had been on our list for maybe three, four years didn't really have opportunity. And then you go, there's your opportunity. And they hadn't really got a taste. And I think it was a lot for them. There's a lot of things like, look, we could talk all day about what Cameron Joyce's doings at our club and, you know, just the lack of development. I watched my YouTube's been throwing up a few old videos and I looked at a draft we had in 2017, I think, and we drafted Ed Vickers-Willis, Sam Durden, and Daniel Curry. And Cameron Joyce said, this is going to be the key position pillars of the future for us. And the only one that showed anything was Ed Vickers-Willis, and then his knee exploded twice, I think. So this is a very depressing session for me. But yeah, I think Brad Scott maybe just didn't, you know how Geelong roll you through all the time and Sydney do the same thing? I would have liked to see him do a little bit more of that. I think he really played these guys until their knees fell off, then said, all right, guys who haven't had a chance yet, there you go. And they weren't ready for it. And that's maybe the thing that I didn't like about his decision-making at the end.
Yeah, right. And I was going to mention Geelong, who do it so well. They had a second-year player play fullback in a grand final team in Sam De Koning. Like, that is incredible ability to nurture young players through with experience and get them into positions where they can be the leaders of the club at a young age moving forward. So I think when you frame it all like that, it makes a lot of sense for why North fans would project a little bit of the current state of the list and the club on what Brad Scott, those decisions he made towards the end of his tenure.
Yeah. And look, it's definitely almost like a Damien Hardwick situation, right? Where Dimmer's given the Tigers the three premierships and, you know, he's going to be a legend down there for the rest of his life. But at the end of the day, he did sort of screw over the Tigers in a pretty big way. You know, leaving in the middle of the season, getting rid of a lot of their draft capital and bringing in some players for one more tilt. And then within 10 to 12 games, he was sort of out the door saying, I'm burnt out. I want to spend time watching my son play footy, when he was actually just signing a multi-million dollar deal to go and, you know, coach on the Gold Coast. And it sort of kind of screwed them over a lot. And it's like, you know, my best football memories are with Brad Scott. I wasn't old enough for the premierships. I was alive, but I was one and I was four. So not really in my memory bank. And he's given me the best football moments of my life in the 2014 and 15 finals runs and things. But, you know, I definitely don't blame Brad Scott for the position we're in. I think that's more drafting, recruiting, and, you know, how the whole recruiting system works with academies and father sons and, you know, lots of the management decisions and things like that have been all over the place. But, you know, I've talked to a couple of the older players. I won't name names, so I don't want to rat them out, but I've talked to a couple of players on the list at that time who are about 30, 31 right now. And they've said things similar to, I never got enough game time. I never got an opportunity to do it. And they're meant to be in the prime, maybe just coming out of the primes of their careers now. And they haven't been on the list for 4 or 5 years. So, that's maybe the one thing I hold a little bit of resentment to Brad Scott, but it's definitely not I hate Brad Scott. I mean, like I said, he's given me a lot of good footballing memories. The one thing I did say to a lot of Bombers fans is with Brad Scott is watch out for him not playing as much youth as you'd like and playing a lot of old guys. And, you know, I don't know how he's going. I don't watch the Bombers every single week. You know, the Draper thing was a very interesting one with bringing in Goldstein, and Draper being injured now obviously justifies that decision. But I was always going to be very interested to see if he maybe didn't play Draper in his preferred position, or, you know, maybe put him in the twos and you'd be like, why? Draper's the future, but he'll go with these old guys again and again and again. And that, because only because that's what my sort of experience was at the end.
What I love about Brad, and I think he's brought a more holistic view to his coaching a second time around, given that he was, you know, running the game from AFL House for a few years as well since he retired. And, you know, the game is very different from when he left North in, was it 2018, 2019? So he needed to catch up to what wins games of footy, but he's kept a lot of accountability for selection. And sometimes that means Elijah Sardis doesn't get a look in because his preferred position of, you know, the midfield is kind of loaded with guys playing really well right now. Or Nate Caddy hasn't made his debut because he's going with more reliable players, or he's playing two rucks with Goldstein and Draper together or something like that. So there are going to be moments, and I know I've felt this already, being frustrated with some of the young guys I've kind of watched through their junior careers and get into the AFL system, not get a go, but you're also understanding of it, because it breeds for him and for the Essendon Football Club right now, who's had a very bad VFL program for a long time. It breeds accountability and transparency in your selections, and you're selected on form, and if you're the incumbent, the players trying to break in are made to really work hard for their position. But once they come in, they're given an extended run in the team, which I think may be a change from how he's coached in the past in terms of for North Melbourne. Yeah. Maybe those veterans didn't need to prove their form or their quality to get a look in ahead of a young guy. Whereas now I think they do.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say. And look, obviously having that experience, being able to reflect on it, he's been in high positions in the AFL, reflecting on that time and maybe growing from that and being a better coach because of that. And, you know, I think right now isn't the time to make that call on him as well. I'm not going to say that's what he's going to do, because this is the part where Essendon is sort of on the up, like he sort of did to us. And, you know, we played a few prelims and, you know, brought our club back to, you know, a lot of success, or as success as far as we could have gone. And it's more after that, and you start to on the decline, does he then switch to youth and things like that? But hey, we're not going to know that for a few years, mate, to be honest.
Well, the other thing he's inherited a very young list, which North Melbourne obviously wasn't. So as it stands, Goldstein and Dyson Heppel and then Jake Stringer's just turned 30. They're the only 30-year-olds in the team. But that's because they're the three of four 30-year-olds on the list, with Dylan Scheel being the other one. And he's played about four straight weeks in the VFL, being made to earn a recall. So he didn't get an automatic inclusion into the team ahead of a guy like Dersma or Sam Durham. So he's got a very young list to work with. That means he's had to play youth at times. But as it stands, I think Essendon fans, obviously given we're third, Essendon fans cannot complain about the selection as they have done in the past a lot.
Yeah, fair. What are your quick thoughts on Alistair Clarkson as a coach then? Because he's come under a little bit of scrutiny. I'm a big believer and a big backer of Alistair Clarkson, but what are your thoughts of him at North and how he's going or what he can do?
He's the master, and you got to rely on him to be the guy. I don't think you can put any coaching pressure on him for his job at all. But I was happy to miss out on him. And I think that's mostly because the game's gone past the kick mark style that he utilized for those Hawthorn sides, who just had the best ball users you could ever ask for a game plan like that. And it's evolved into this forward half power, explosive game, forward half turnover, opportunity, going the other way and rebounding with pace, as well as kind of handball instead of kicking. And I think when you've got a team like North Melbourne who's so young, if you're trying to play premiership football in 5 years, you've got to start playing it now. So that forward half turnover game, I think you're really struggling in, and you're struggling to score off turnover right now. And you're also conceding a lot of defensive half turnovers. And that's, I don't think, Clarko's strongest suit to be able to fix that.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting. Is there anything in the game plan or the way we play that you've seen that you think we can take forward? What are some of the positives maybe you've seen from watching our games that we can, in his coaching and tactics, that maybe we can hold on to?
I've seen individual players really flourish under him. In terms of tactically, I think he's made really good decisions in some of his positional changes. I think Charlie Comber behind the ball, as you alluded to. I didn't think about it at all. I wouldn't have put that forward at the end of last season. But to see him reading the ball and flying for his marks, and he probably is more of an interceptor type, as you said, he looks like a natural behind the ball. And I never expected that. I knew he had so much talent, but his injuries have just wiped him out for a long period of time. So to see him playing behind the ball, I think Clarko's completely unlocked that. And that's the magnet you can keep at centre half back or in a back pocket for the next 6-7 years, with certainty that he'll grow and impress in that position. I love, Larky, under Clarko, Larky last year was incredible. I know he's a great set shot routine, but to be able to create space in the forward line and create holes and pockets for him to lead into. And I think there were very unselfish players in your forward half at times last year to allow that to happen. Was great stuff from Clarko. In terms of in terms of what the game plan needs to be, you need to become an incredible contested ball winning team because you've used all your draft picks there. So you need LDU and Sheasel when he goes in there, and Phillips, who just needs to capitalize on the exposure when he gets it. And then Tom Powell, who I think has been one of your most improved this year, to become this incredible midfield unit, and George Wardlaw, of course. And we can't quite see it yet, and they're still so young, but that's what's going to win you games of footy going forward. So to win clearance is going to be really vital for you guys.
Yeah, I think one of the probably the biggest problem for me this year has been our toughness and our size around the ball. I think, you know, we get bullied very, very easily, and you can see the talent in these guys. Like, that's why LDU has come under a lot of scrutiny, especially last few weeks, but all season basically, for his maybe lack of defensive effort and toughness and hardness sort of around the ball, and rightly or wrongly so. I think there's intangible things as a player you should be doing, which I think he's probably not. Has he ever been that defensive running tackling machine? No, but you would at least expect him being a senior figure in that midfield to be able to do that. But Wardlaw's going to become a contested beast. I don't have any doubt about that. You know, we're just really lacking that Cunnington-esque player to give us some leadership and some toughness in there. And, you know, Powell definitely strikes me as more of an outside. Phillips is interesting. I'm not sure what the go is there. He gets a couple of weeks in a row, plays okay, then gets dropped. But I'm not sure what he can become as well. So, you know, there is talent there, but I'm not exactly sure how the midfield pieces are going to fit together, because when I see, in a few years' time, if LDU stays, you get LDU, Shears, or Wardlaw in the midfield, we all go, wow. But I'm not sure who's making all those tackles in there. I mean, Wardlaw definitely will, but I don't think one guy doing it with two players who maybe aren't known for contested ball are going to be able to do that. So I never would have thought I would say we need another midfielder or something else in the midfield, but a big body and a hard ball get machine. Geez, we're missing that so bad this season.
What have you made of Davies Uniacke this season? Do you feel like he's checked out? Do you think he's going to stay?
My gut tells me he will stay. My gut tells me Zerha goes and LDU stays. I know LDU's is the following year. Yeah, I don't know. Zerha, I know we didn't ask about Zerha, but Zerha seems to me like he built his – I was listening to another North Melbourne podcast, #Kangaroo, so shout out to them. But they were talking about, you know, Zerha got into this team because he was a big bull of a player. He was physical, tough, but that's all gone. He does strike me as maybe not Jake Stringer this year, but like a last year sort of Jake Stringer, where he only seems to want to do the highlight play and doesn't want to do anything else. So my gut does tell me he's a little bit checked out, which is fine. I would be okay to lose Zerha. As for LDU, it's really interesting. I don't want to believe he's sort of checked out. He doesn't strike me as the sort of personality who is desperate to leave a smaller club or anything like that. He's had some phenomenal games this year, and you look at his stats for every single game and you go, wow, he's having a great year. But when you watch the games, it is maybe, especially last game, that's probably the easiest one to talk about. You know, his contested work, I didn't think was very good. I think when he received the ball running past and breaking the game open was very good, but then his disposal let him down. But it is that tackling, running, putting a body on, putting a pressure act on. I think he's got some of the lowest pressure act stats in the league, to be honest, this year. I think it was 0.9 pressure acts a game or something like that, I think I read. There was a play last game where the ruckman, is it Witts? Is it Jared Witts, the ruckman for the Gold Coast? He, you know, got the ball out of the ruck contest and basically put it straight on his boot and kicked a goal out of the contest. When LDU was right in front of him, could have smothered, could have tackled, even bumped or bodied him. And he just sort of stood there and jumped away from the ball. And, you know, it's easy for me to say that sitting on the couch watching it, right? But at the end of the day, I know if Jackson Archer or Charlie Combin was there, that ball's getting smothered or the guy's getting put in the turf. You know, and they're the things he maybe doesn't do. Has it been his game? Has he been a two-way player like that? No, he's a one-way. He's a bit of a one-way player, but I guess at 24 years old, being the senior figure in that midfield, I would want him to be able to grow into that. And when we are lacking that, losing, you know, I know Taron Thomas wasn't like that, but losing an explosive player like that, losing a Ben Cunnington in our last season as well, who's going to make up for that? It can't just all be George Wardlaw. He's 19 years old, and it's up to LDU to, even if it's not part of his game, to be able to do that a little bit more. So a little bit underwhelmed with LDU this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's what frustrates me watching the Roos. It's the leaders of the club, and I know he's so young, but they need to lead by example. And Harry Sheasel's the only one really leading by example when you kind of look at them. And he's 20 years old. It's ridiculous. So when I think the guy that really stands out to me in this, and it's not actually LDU, I think he's always been a fairly offensive-minded player. And I think in an ideal world, he spends a bit of time at half forward instead of being a pure midfielder, because you could kind of get away with him being a little bit more offensive-minded there. I think Jaden Stevenson reeks of it, and he doesn't put in the amount of effort required as a small forward. I think Paul Curtis is probably learning off him as the older guy, and he's also not putting in the amount of effort required as, I know he's a youngster, but it's Jaden Stevenson leading the way in that forward half, who has to put his hand up and say, I should be laying way more tackles. I should be laying much more pressure on the ball carrier and putting in a bit more of an effort, because as it stands, I work with James Brayshaw at Triple M, and he always talks about, as a very passionate North Melbourne fan, he always talks about how James Stevenson isn't putting in the amount of work required at this level. And he's a rising star winner. We know how good he is offensively, but show us defensively, show us something, because you've got the speed, you've desire and talent. Hunger, and that mentality is free. You don't have to pay for that in the draft. Give us something.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, look, James Stevenson had a bit of a bounce back game for me last game, but his season has been pretty bad. I can't believe he got selected to play against the Gold Coast. I think the only thing that kept him in the side for Gold Coast was the conditions that he was going to be playing in, getting rid of a few of the taller guys. But I don't know. Do I expect him to like chase and tackle much? Not really, but I think, you know, when he's around the ball, he needs to be tougher at it. I think it's hard. He's the perfect player, and we saw at the Pies, he's the perfect player where you put him in a Collingwood or a Geelong. You put him in Geelong's forward pocket, he'll kick 40 goals a year. You know what I mean? Because the other guys will do that for him. He's the icing on top. He's the cherry on the cake, right? So, you know, I see him as a very similar player to a Ginnivan or something like that, where, you know, maybe hasn't got it in him to be able to do it when it's really, really tough and when you're at the bottom of the ladder. Ginnivan's been okay for the Hawks, but, you know, If the Hawks don't improve over the next couple of years, I could see a player, those sort of small, skinny forward pockets who are crafty but maybe don't have the grit and grind about them can really, really struggle. You know, Jaden Stevenson was going on a lot in the preseason about wanting to be more of a leader, taking Dersmer under his wing, all that sort of stuff. And I liked that sort of speak from him, but all the fan base was like, you've got to come and back that up, mate. And he hasn't at all. So look, a great game last week from him, and he's going to earn his spot against the Bombers. And, you know, I really hope that he can go up from there. But I mean, I'm on a believe it when I see it basis with Jaden Stevenson, because we know he's got talent. You're right. He's a rising star, winner. And, I don't know. He just, it's an uninspiring club at the moment, and it's not fun playing for North Melbourne. I understand that, but does he have the gumption, I guess, to be able to get us up the ladder? Then he can be a star maybe in September or something like that.
Yeah, it is. It's such a tough position to play, playing forward for a club that really struggles. Mm. But I think I come from a standpoint where you need collective buy-in, you need your leaders to show up. And if you're going to look at Geelong, like, he wouldn't get a game ahead of Brad Close or Tyson Stengel or Grant Myers or Ollie Henry, who put in the amount of work required to pressure halfbacks and good ball users into turnovers in the forward half. And right now that's the game that you guys are really struggling in. The ball just transitions way too easily. And James Stevenson, Zane Dersmer when he's back in the team, Paul Curtis, are the guys who need to step up and do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's talk about the game this weekend then. How are you feeling about it? Where do you think, you know, maybe the Bombers can take advantage of us the most?
Well, I think where you guys stack up the best is in your midfield if Harry Sheasel plays through there. I think you've got good speed through there, which can worry us at times, with Darcy Parrish and Sammy Durham being a little bit slower. But I think the main part where we can get you is off halfback, with Nick Martin and Mason Redmond getting back into form, and Andy McGrath. Mm-hmm. These types can really tuck it under their arms and get going. And if you pierce that first layer of defence, which I think has been fairly easy so far this year against North Melbourne, I think you can put up a pretty good score and a winning score.
What do you reckon the other way around? Is there any area we might be able to take some sort of advantage of the Bombers?
Well, we've improved a lot of facets of our game. As it stands, I still think that we're susceptible in one-on-ones with players like a Jaden Laverty. And if, you know, it ends up being a Cam Zerha who gets that role. I'm not exactly sure what the matchup would be. I think that's something that he can really take advantage of. If he gets him up the ground and gets him back leading into goals, it would require a lot of work rate and potentially some quicker ball movement than we've seen from North Melbourne, especially with Colby out. They'll be tough off half back. But I think we can expect them to, you know, put in like him to put in a pretty good show. Is he fit and healthy? If he puts in a good showing, then I think, you know, you'll kick a decent score.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this has been the thing, I guess we've been trying to build is off half back and running it through the middle, and teams just always find a way to shut us down. And we always have to revert to the long kick down the line where we really don't have any player other than Charlie Combin in the team that can take a contested mark. So I think teams just know, put the pressure on us, we'll end up kicking it long. And it's a very easy intercept, to be honest, which is very disappointing. So we've got a couple of minutes on the chat left. Give me a score prediction, mate. Give me a tip for this game.
I'll say the Dons by about 6 goals with Peter Wright to get back into form. I think he can take advantage of his matchup.
Yeah, I'm pretty worried about this one, to be honest. I think it's probably just going off the Bombers last week and how impressed I was against the Giants from them. But I don't know. I think we could be looking at a 50-odd point sort of loss here. I think it could be a big one. Look, Essendon, even though they're doing very, very well this year, we know they've got that thing in them where they could drop a random game. But I couldn't, I'm not going to predict they're going to do that against a North Melbourne side as bad as we are. I mean, last year we were probably playing better than we are now. And I know the games last year were very, very close. And was it 1 point and 5 points, I think, were the
yes,
two
very close, yep.
results. I just can't see us repeating anything like that this year, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong, but I think it might be a big one, to be honest, especially with a Peter Wright up there who I don't think played against us last year. I think he was injured. So, the big key forwards are our nightmare amongst many, many nightmares. So, yeah, I think it will be a big one, unfortunately. But look, maybe it's this random one win we'll get for the season.
Yeah. I would love to see Miller Bergman come back in for you guys. I think he's I think he's got something about him. And Eddie Ford, hopefully, as well, who offers a little bit more up forward, I think.
I would agree with that. I've been calling for Miller Bergman for about a month now. I think he's a great kick, a defensive-minded defender, obviously. And if Colby goes out, I'd hope maybe they'd bring him in for Colby, even though obviously Colby being out only played a few games, but that is going to hurt us too. So, we'll hope and pray for the Marvel Stadium gods to give North Melbourne a nice gift this weekend, I reckon.
Very good, mate.
Well, thank you for coming on. We might finish up here, but thank you for giving me some of your time, mate. And if anyone does want to listen along to some Bombers content, the flight plan, you guys know where to find it. So, Jasper, thank you for coming on, man.
No, thank you for having me, Josh. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you to Jasper once again for giving up some of his time and coming on the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. So knowledgeable on football and a great Essendon fan. So if you guys ever want to listen to an Essendon podcast, but you probably don't, that is the one to listen to. Okay, let's get into everything. A few things before live team reaction. Mid-season draft's coming up. Very, very interesting. And Todd Viney has made some very interesting comments on the radio throughout the week, basically pointing out that we are looking to bring in a big-bodied mid or a helpful Larky or a small crumbing forward. Now, that's really good to hear because it shows that they do know, and of course they do, but we think we know more as fans, we don't. But if I was going to say three positions we need the most, it's exactly those three. So I'm pretty happy with that from Todd Viney. We have picks number 1, 15, and 21 currently. That can change. But they're the picks we've currently got in the mid-season draft in 2 weeks. There's lots of, well, we're going to do an episode. Our spy, Joel, is going to be back on the podcast in about a week or so, previewing the mid-season draft. My brain stalled. Sorry, guys. Previewing the mid-season draft, giving you guys all the information you need to know, basically. He knows some hot prospects that are playing really, really well in their local leagues that we could target and look at to fix a couple of the holes in our team, which there are so many. So that is coming in the next couple of weeks. But I thought it was really interesting to hear that Viney interview. They seem very aware of where we're at right now.
And I'm glad that, you know, when he was talking about the mid-season draft, you know, he identified the positions that maybe I feel like and we as a collective and a fan base feel we need to target. For me, big-bodied midfielder would probably be the priority. I know drafting another midfielder sounds horrendous, but I'd rather try and find a mature-age big body that can bring us a bit of physicality, a Cunnington-esque. I'm not going to get a player of that quality, but you know what I mean, that prototype of player can probably come in the mid-season draft, and then probably the other ones you'd want to target in the other drafts. I probably don't want to grab a key forward out of a different league. They're probably not going to be able to mark the ball and make much impact. We haven't seen key position players come in that way and make big impacts. Callum Dawson is just getting his chance now besides the injury, and it's taken him 3 years. But can you find a Jai Newcombe or a John Noble and stuff like that? So that's what I'll be targeting. The other news, Colby McKercher, rising star. So good for Colby. I'm so, so happy. He has played so well this year, and it's been underappreciated and underrated. Of course, everyone's banging on about Harley Reid. I've said this before. Harley Reid played two blinders, and that's probably about it. He's been good. His highlights are sexier, and they've got some wins. Good on them. But in my opinion, Harley Reid has not been as consistent as Colby McKercher. Finally deserves the rising star. Probably going to be out this week, though. We've heard he has some bone stressing, I think it was. I've heard it's going to be a week. I've heard it's going to be a month. I really don't know. I'm assuming he's going to be out, but we'll find that out in a second. Who do I want to change this week? I guess we can go into that in a second, but we're going to do the barbershop segment first. So this is This Week in the Barbershop at Black and Brown. So this week, one thing I've come to realise, and I think it's been the last few weeks and it's been brewing, the defence isn't the problem anymore. And that's a big statement to make, because that is always going to be a bit of a problem. But what I mean by that is, I think our defence has held up the best out of all of the three lines recently. Our forward line is so dysfunctional at the moment. Curtis and Larky are doing what they can, but everyone else around them isn't really hitting. We're not putting enough scores up on the board. You know, how many marks have we dropped? Last week was a write-off. That was disgusting. But the week before against the Saints, Larky's dropping marks. Paul Curtis isn't maybe as good in the contest as he has been. I don't know. Blake Drury hasn't really chipped in with any goals, so I'm really, really worried how the forward line is functioning. Our biggest hole is our midfield, which was meant to be our best feature, really, this year. The delivery from those guys into our forward 50 is woeful. Then the times we do deliver it nicely, it bounces off everyone's chest. I think the defence may be our strongest line of all three lines in our team right now, which is terrifying, but also when you talk to people outside, and I talk to people at the barbershop, that's the one they go, your defence is the worst bit. And I'm like, I don't think it is. So, hey, that's what we've been talking about this week at the barbershop. This is only going to be a small segment. I like it. You guys let me know what you think. I like the music. And if you would like to come down to the barbershop and get a haircut, Black and Brown Barbershop in Mitcham, jump online. You can book me. You have to request me on the website, and we can talk north. Just put further north in the comments of your booking, and I'll see you there. If you come in during the week and you give me some hot takes, maybe I'll talk about you in the episode. So that was this week at the barbershop. All right, we're going to mix it up. We're going to mix it up now. Let's go. Let's go to the team changes. Screw it. Whatever. I'm going to jump straight into this. Live team reaction. Okay. What do I want from this week? What do I want? The only real player I'm screaming for to come in is Miller Bergman. Miller Bergman is the player I would really, really, really like to see come in. I guess because McKercher's out, that makes a lot of sense. That would be a straight swap for me. I don't really want to see Schiesel going back into halfback. I'd like him in the midfield. I want him to keep learning that role. Other than that, I mean, a Toby Pink I would like to trial up in the forward line as well. Who would I replace him for? I don't really know, to be honest. People sort of stood up last week. It, of course, would have been like a Steve-O or something. A lot of talk about Zerha, but I don't think you dropped Zerha. I haven't really gone into depth with what I would change this week, guys, to be honest. But, hey, I would say bring in a Toby Pink for someone, maybe a Liam Shields. Let's go Liam Shields. Bring a Toby Pink in for a Liam Shields. It's going to be dry conditions. We're going to be able to take marks. And bring Miller Bergman in for Colby McKercher. Let's see what the changes are. I know it's going to be an extended squad. Oh, changes. Okay. Oh, okay. The thing that jumps off the page for me is Will Phillips has been omitted. Will Phillips has been omitted. What is going on with Will Phillips? Is this one of the biggest conspiracies that we've ever had? I don't understand. Like, he's played fine. We need people in the midfield. We've brought Simkin back in. Okay, so let me read out these changes. Simkin, Bergman, fantastic. Curtis Taylor, Marnie's going to be happy. Toby Pink, okay. My guy Dylan Stevens is back and Zane Dersmer is back. Okay, I like the ins. Colby McKercher, we knew that was happening. Will Phillips, don't think it's fair. Riley Hardiman, very rough to be dropped, I think. That suggests to me, with Hardiman being out, that Shizu is going to go back. Shizu's been named in the back line. Yeah, interesting. I know it's an extended squad, so who's not going to make the squad? I'd say maybe Curtis Taylor. I'd rather give Dylan Stevens a chance than Curtis Taylor. I know Stevens wasn't too impressive, but he's younger and more talented. Curtis Taylor, the only reason we're saying maybe Curtis Taylor could come back in is because we're so desperate and times are so tough. We all agree the guy's going to be off the list next year unless he comes back and does something crazy. Love that Durs is back in. In my personal opinion, I would bring everyone in except for Curtis Taylor here. Out McKercher, Phillips, Hardiman. If I was going to pick two more outs, Liam Shields would be one of them. I'm glad Greenwood's still in here, right? Yeah, Greenwood is still in. Okay, they better not drop Greenwood. I would be giving Blake Drury a spell, I think. I think he hasn't really contributed the last couple of weeks and Dersmer can maybe do what he's been doing. We talked about this before that Drury, we've had forwards like this before and I think Blake Drury is not, Jack Marnie or what's his name? Kane Turner. He's got more upside than that, but he's just not kicking goals, and we need goals. So Dersmer can bring goals. The extra two I would drop would be Drury and Shields, I think. Lazaro, he deserves a run, I think. Other than that, there's not really anyone who deserves to be dropped. Darcy Tucker, I don't think he's got a future in this team. I would drop him and just not play him anymore, but I guess he's solid enough, and that's, once again, dropping a semi-experienced player, even though he brings no leadership. Stevenson obviously was on the chopping block, but after his game last week, you cannot drop him. So they'd be my changes. But Will Phillips, man, oh, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Like, what did he do wrong? What did he do wrong? What's Liam Shields doing that Will Phillips isn't? You know what I mean? What's Darcy Tucker doing that Will Phillips isn't? I don't know. Something else has to be going on. Like Charlie Lazaro. Like, I like Charlie Lazaro. I really want Charlie Lazaro to work out. But Charlie Lazaro did not have a better game last week. I know he was a sub. But, like, did not have a better game than Will Phillips. And, you know, if Lazaro plays a full game, he struggles to make an impact a lot of the time. So, anyway, Toby Pink back in. Very interesting to see if he will be in the forward line or not. I want to trial him up there. Why not? We may as well throw something around. The Bombers side in Dylan Scheel. I forgot that he even played football. Nate Caddy and Nick Bryan. Don't know who Nick Bryan is, but Nate Caddy was the Bombers draft pick, I think. And Dylan Scheel was a guy who I thought was going to tear the league apart 5 years ago and has come to nothing. Clearly, another a Ben McKay meeting this week. That's going to be very spicy to see how the fans treat him. And Todd Goldstein, what I would say to you guys as well about Todd Goldstein, no booing Todd Goldstein. If anyone boos Todd Goldstein, I would question your loyalty to North Melbourne. The guy was an absolute pillar for us for years. He's done enough. He can do what he wants now. No booing Goldie. McKay, on the other hand, you can give him a little bit. I reckon you can give him a little bit. And he'll be expecting it too. McKay on Larky. That will be very, very interesting. Or McKay on Toby Pink and Toby Pink kicks six on him. Wowee. That is exciting stuff. other than that, who am I going to put under the microscope this week? Looking through the team, if Drury plays, I'd be like, Drury, you've got to step up. You know what? To make it more controversial, LDU's going under the microscope this week. I want to see tackles. I want to see leadership from you in that midfield. I want to see defensive effort. That's the week he's probably been roasted the most for his lack of defensive effort. And this week you need that. The Bombers, you know, Zach Merritt's playing fantastic. Darcy Parrish is a good player. They're not like the biggest midfield that will bully you, to be honest. So, you know, that serves well for us because we've got pace, we've got skills, but we just don't have big bodies. So let's hope Stringer doesn't – like this stinks of a Stringer game, to be honest. Stringer – my gut says Stringer kicks like six, to be honest with you. But we'll see. I hope Hugh Greenwood stays in this team, but I really want him to play in this in the midfield. Like he can bring so much to those center bounces so it doesn't just leak out of our midfield. But whatever, whatever. It's a broken record at this point. Why aren't I the coach of North Melbourne? Yeah, I guess that's kind of it, to be honest. I'll tip some games. What I'm realizing, guys, my tips are rubbish, aren't they? I'm so bad at tipping any football whatsoever. I always think I'm a pretty good I can tip pretty well, you know what I mean? And turns out I'm rubbish at it. Nearly every game I tip every week is wrong. So I'm going to try and mix some things up this week. Currently, we have Gold Coast and Geelong up in Darwin. Darwin's the home of footy. Watch out. The Cats are up by 3 points. They basically dropped everybody. So did the Gold Coast, to be fair, because no one cares about this game. I will say the Cats will win, but it'll be close. Sydney Carlton, I'm going for the Swans. I'm on the Swans this year. They're my team in the top eight this year. I'm backing the Swans. I've been saying it all year. I love Chad Warner, and I don't know why, but he's just so good at football. So I'm going to back the Swans. Carlton could absolutely do it, though. They should probably be doing it, to be fair. I think Carlton's list on paper is much better, but Sydney are just more of a unit. Collingwood, Adelaide, MCG. Give me Adelaide. Give me Adelaide. They're up and about at the moment. We've played them back into form very, very nicely. So like half the league. I'm going to go Adelaide for an upset in this one at the G. Saturday 1:45. Collingwood maybe turn up in prime time, but other than that, they don't know what they're doing. So, yep, Bulldogs GWS. Where is that? ES? What is ES? What stadium is ES, guys? Whatever, who cares? No, I got to know now. Oh, yes, that's what they've decided to call their the Giants Stadium. Engie Stadium. GWS win that. They'll get back to winning ways. And, yeah, the Dogs were great last week against the Tigers, but won't back that up. Frio Saints at Marvel. Ooh, gross game. Saturday night too. Yuck. Oh, there's a game at the G, don't worry. Oh, it's Richmond. Who cares? Wow, what lackluster football on Saturday night. Give me St. Kilda. Give me St. Kilda. And give me the Lions. Give me the Lions. Sorry. It's not at the G, not MCD. It's just the G. Gabba. Yeah, Brisbane could be a 100-point win, to be honest. Essendon North, you guys heard my tip. I think we could get belted in this one. Until the boys show me that they're not going to get belted, I don't know if I've got the guts to tip them. They've sort of shown me that backing them is a bit stupid, even though I back the future. Essendon win that one. Port Hawthorne, Port will win. I want both of those teams to lose, though. A draw. I'm going to tip a draw. Screw it. I'm tipping a draw. West Coast, Melbourne. Melbourne will win that one. Melbourne will win that one. All right, I'm done. Let me know what you thought of the new segments as well, guys. I am just trying some new stuff. We'll trial it out. Roast me if it's bad. Let me know if it's good. Let me know how to improve it. I like the little intro bit. I think I'll try and keep that going. It just makes the start of the podcast a bit more fun, but also I want it to kind of get straight into it as well. I like the little previews. And let me know what you think of the barbershop segment and ways to evolve it. This will be every week segment because I talk so much footy. I think it's a great idea, but we're just trialing it right now. So let us know. It's your podcast as much as mine and Marnie's. Other than that, a lot of stuff coming. We already talked about this, but mid-season draft preview coming with Joel, the super spy sleuth, the Arden Street spy down there. He knows what's going on. So we're going to get all of his insight on the midseason draft. And we're planning to do a big round table with the Closer to a Flag boys for a midseason review in a couple of weeks. So this is all coming. We've got two more games to play first. I understand it's further away, but I'm getting you on the hype train. You guys understand. Remember, please send your voice messages in after the Essendon game. Everyone who's commented and everyone who sent them in before, I need characters out of this, guys. You know, where has Gobshites Anonymous gone? I need Gobshites Anonymous sending me voice messages every week. Jared from Tassie, I know you're listening. Where was our voice messages the last couple of weeks, mate? Not good enough. I need the banter. You know, one of the regular Instagram commenters, Bixie the Rescue Cat, could we get a voice message from the cat? I don't know. I know you guys are listening. Brighton Isles, send me stuff through, guys. Come on. You know, there's many, many, many regular listeners. So I apologize if I can't name everybody because the podcast keeps growing, which is fantastic. But hey, send in your voice messages straight after the game. I will post about it. Other than that, we're going to get the YouTube to 1,000 subscribers, hopefully very, very soon. We're a couple of hundred away. So please, if you haven't subscribed, even if you don't watch the videos on YouTube, please subscribe. It's free and it helps me out. Instagram needs to be 1,000 by the end of the season. I think we'll get there, but that's where we're most active. If you do want to message us, please message the Instagram. I'll get back to that more than I will Facebook. Marnie really runs the Twitter, so she will probably message on there. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Yeah, you guys know what it is. Anyway, we've been here long enough. Once again, this is your podcast like it is mine. So let's hope and pray we can do something this weekend, guys. And yeah, we'll be back probably on Monday or Tuesday, one or the other, depending when we can work out a time to record. So Monday or Tuesday, the podcast will be back. Stay strong. Get down to the game if you can. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys very, very soon. Thank you for listening. Love yous lots.